from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, January 8th. I'm Abby Larico. The 2025 Missouri legislative session begins today with a new set of lawmakers and new priorities from a new governor, Mike Kehoe. One of his priorities is placing control of the St. Louis Police Department under an appointed board.
I believe that model seems to work better.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on what the next 4 months may look like in Jefferson City. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The St. Louis County Council is calling for an investigation of the county prosecutor's office, and the new prosecutor is thankful for it. The council passed a resolution at its meeting last night requesting the state auditor look into practices in the office which, quote, may be leading to waste, fraud, and/or abuse. It authorizes an initial investigation by the state auditor's office, which may lead to a full audit of the department at the county's expense. New St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney Melissa Price-Smith expressed her full support of the measure, which was introduced by District 7 Councilman Mark Harder. Price-Smith was sworn in last week to replace Wesley Bell, who was elected to Congress. She says she had asked for an audit upon taking office and that an outside evaluation would help her better understand the office's finances, personnel, and other matters to be more transparent with the public. A newly released audit of the City of St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office under Kim Gardner found widespread problems with the way she managed the role. Republican Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick released the report Tuesday. It found that Gardner misused office funds and spent working hours taking nursing classes. It also found major drops in staffing that contributed to cases languishing. Gardner resigned in 2023. Fitzpatrick says he hopes the audit reminds voters to carefully select the people they put in office.
Kim was a disaster. The city has suffered immensely due to her failure to operate the office and to show up to work.
A lawyer who represented Gardner at various times during the audit did not respond to a request for comment. The audit took nearly 4 years to complete. It was the last of a review of all city offices requested in 2018. A St. Louis Civil Service Commission is considering an effort by the mayor to oust the city's personnel director, which would be a first for the city. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, personnel director Sonia Jenkins Gray argues the city's action is politically motivated.
Mayor Tashara Jones's office says Jenkins Gray should be fired for improperly using a city vehicle last year. She and a co-worker drove to Jefferson City for what she described as a personal matter. She admitted to the incident and said she didn't realize she was breaking city policy. Jenkins Gray paid the city the $170 she said she owed for the travel. But in a lawsuit, she argues the firing attempt is for political disagreements with the mayor.
I strive not to violate policies or do anything wrong because I know of the importance, especially of my role, following the rules. And when I found out that I broke a rule, I went to tell that I had broke a rule.
The hearing will continue next week. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
In a surprise move Tuesday, former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan took the witness stand in his federal corruption trial. Capital News Illinois reports the former Democratic leader testified for several hours and is expected to continue answering questions this morning. Madigan stands accused of nearly two dozen counts of bribery, racketeering, wire fraud, and extortion. The feds allege he used his elected and political power to enrich himself and his allies, including recommending those close to him for jobs and contracts with electric utility Commonwealth Edison. In exchange, prosecutors say the company had an easier time passing key legislation in Springfield. In his testimony, Madigan directly contradicted previous government witnesses and denied any exchange occurred. Prosecutors will get their turn to cross-examine Madigan as early as today. The Webster Groves City Council is weighing a proposal that would allow construction of a pediatric mental health hospital in a residential neighborhood. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports supporters of the plan vastly outnumbered opponents at a four-hour public hearing before the council last night.
Children's Hospital and the mental health provider KVC want to build a 77-bed inpatient treatment facility and outpatient care center in the residential neighborhood near Gore Avenue and Rock Hill Road. The council will need to approve zoning and permitting changes in order for the construction to begin. Some supporters of the plan on Tuesday argued the property has for more than a century been used to treat children. Councilmember Karen Alexander says the facility would fill a vital need.
It's the opportunity to provide that type of assistance that's much needed for our youth.
Opponents said the organizations have not been transparent about their plans and want more information about how the operators will ensure the safety of the neighborhood. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Four Missouri home renovation companies will have to pay thousands of dollars in penalties for lead-based paint violations. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says the companies, including BBW Homes LLC and Kim Roberts Properties LLC in St. Louis, did not have a renovator certification from the agency to renovate homes built before 1978. They also did not follow lead safety work practices. The EPA says those actions violated the Federal Toxic Substance Control Act. The agency announced Tuesday that the companies agreed to pay more than $27,000 in penalties. Lead-based paint was commonly used in homes built before 1978. Exposure to lead-contaminated dust can cause elevated blood lead levels and irreversible negative health outcomes for children. New state data shows that schools in Missouri retained more teachers than they lost for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
89% of teachers stayed in the profession during the 2023-2024 school year. That's according to new data from the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. There are also more people pursuing teacher preparation programs across the state, which means more people in the pipeline to become teachers. Paul Katnick is the Assistant Commissioner of Educator Quality. He says increased retention is a result of various state initiatives to make the process of becoming and staying a teacher much easier.
Addressing the teacher shortage problem here in Missouri, if you'll imagine, is an immense task, just like changing the direction of a large ship at sea. It's slow, it's deliberate, and it happens through incremental changes.
However, schools are still struggling to retain first-year teachers and recruit more educators of color. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis hockey fans will have a new place to watch NHL games. KMOV and its sister station Matrix announced a partnership with the St. Louis Blues to bring hockey broadcasts back to St. Louis. Blues games in the broadcast lineup include faceoffs against the Winnipeg Jets, the Los Angeles Kings, and the Montreal Canadiens. This is the first time in 15 years that Blues games will be free for viewers to watch. The deal also includes 10 affiliate Gray media stations throughout the Midwest, including Quincy, Illinois, Kansas City, and Columbia. So now my family in Kansas City has no excuse not to cheer on the Blues. The 2025 Missouri legislative session begins today. Lawmakers are in Jefferson City to kick off roughly 4.5 months of work. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on what issues, including abortion, are expected to be front and center this year.
Arguably, the largest change in Missouri policy last year was the passage of Amendment 3, which overturned the state's near-total abortion ban. Because Amendment 3 added abortion rights to Missouri's constitution, there is little legislators can do statutorily. However, House Speaker-elect John Patterson says there are things he believes the legislature can look at regarding the amendment, including language around the term fetal viability.
I think one of the things we could do is define what that is. I think we could address the issue of what is a medical provider. I think we could address the issues of seeking damages if you have something go wrong.
However, Patterson also says there isn't a clear plan yet on how to address Amendment 3. House Minority Leader Ashley Onney says the differing opinions on abortion from Republicans proves the issue should be left alone.
We've got to stop yelling at each other about the nuances and understand that this is such a deeply personal, deeply private medical decision that we have no business weighing in on.
Despite the passage of Amendment 3, any advantage state Democrats were hoping to gain with it on the ballot did not happen. Instead, both Senate and House Republicans held on to their supermajorities, which Patterson says validates their message.
I think Missouri is a center-right state. And so as long as we're able to get our message out, I think we tend to do well.
For the first time in 6 years, the session will work with a new governor. Mike Kehoe is set to be inaugurated on Monday and already has priorities he wants done. One of those is legislation addressing public safety. That would include placing control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department under an appointed board. Kehoe says he believes the board-appointed model works better.
Many people in the business community in St. Louis that are the folks that want to invest capital to expand specifically to downtown St. Louis think that's a better option. The mayor obviously does not.
Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck says St. Louis should have a bigger say in who controls the department.
Our two Democratic senators that represent the city are going to have a big say in this. And they should.
Another priority of Kehoe's is further reducing the state's income tax. Senate President Pro Tem Cindy O'Loughlin says tax legislation will likely depend on the state budget.
We're going to have to get the budget back down to a normal size, something that's sustainable and is conservative in spending. So the two things have to kind of match up.
The past few sessions, the state budget has ballooned due to billions in federal dollars from the American Rescue Plan Act in 2021. In recent years, Democrats have had a greater influence on the makeup of the budget. Ani says this year, the budget process will be very different.
I think that we're going to have to fight a little bit harder for our priorities.
The past few years have been plagued by Republican infighting, most recently between the Freedom Caucus and Republican leadership in the state Senate. O'Loughlin says term limits is a reason for the dysfunction.
Admittedly, it takes time to get anything done. So they reach the end of their term before they feel they have accomplished what they'd like to. And I think that's a little bit of what results in the fireworks on the Senate floor.
As far as the new year goes, Beck believes there once again will be three power structures in the Senate.
Where there's a power vacuum, there's going to be somebody that fills that void. And that's really what's going on in their party right now. It's a fight for their identity as the Republican Party.
The legislative session runs until mid-May. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can read more about the start of the 2025 Missouri legislative session at stlpr.org. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.